this time Major said, "Are you coming on along?" I didn't know him. So I said, "Okay." So we could walk into Paris, so I must have been pretty near. But when you got there, you couldn't see a thing. Absolute black. You couldn't see the wilderness. But this guy knew his way. He went straight across to some place there, opened the door, a thin light came out, and he was inside quick. Well, I just took a turn up the road. I said, "What's the good of being here? You can't see nothing." And I went back, and I told myself, "What the dickens did I go and have a look around?" That's all I saw, Paris. Blackness. Well, after that, the armistice was declared, and we were moved up to some place, just a railway stopping, just a shed and the usual cafe. That's France, railway shed and a cafe. And my leave came through, and I was on the station. All everybody else was in this cafe. I was afraid of missing the train. And suddenly an officer came up that I knew. He said, "Come on inside and have a drink." Took me across the road and stood me a whiskey. Wished me luck, I wished him good luck and goodbye. Went back and the train came in and I went to Blady.
So you were there the whole time of the war?
Pardon?
You were there the whole time during the war, except for the time you were sick?
Yeah, from 14 to sometime after 11th of November, you see. A month, the next month, I guess it was. And I left that night. My unit was going up to Lille. That's every place. I didn't know the place we were at then. All I knew of it was this station and the cafe opposite. But I knew we were going from there to Lille. Occupation. Well, I was sorry I missed that in a way, but I had something more interesting to go to.
Was it what you expected when you signed up?
Hey?
Was it what you expected when you signed up?
No. It was you didn't realize till you got out there how grim it was. And the first winter was the most terrific winter I think I've ever known. It poured and poured. And we lay on the grass. All I had was my greatcoat, no blanket or anything, or ground sheet. I guess that put me into the oxygen tent. After I got over that, and I'd been back another month or two, I got a special leave in 16 to go home and get married. And we went to Shanklin, the Isle of Wight, to for our honeymoon. And my first breakfast there, I remember the maid coming into the room and saying, "Will you come down to breakfast?" It's considered good luck. So we had planned to go out across the moors that day. But we went downstairs and there was a table, there was a big opening, odd room, and a table there we sat at. And on the site, there were two or three rows of brass hats. There must have been a couple of dozen of them sitting there, you know, all in that gold and brass, and looking at it. And I sat the wipe down, and then I stood to attend for a little while, then I sat down, and I never said a word. Just sat there and looked at it. So we went across the moors anyway, and we got mighty hungry. It was quite a walk. We come across a house, all by itself on the moor, biggest house, rather. And I knocked there, a lady came to the door, and I said, "Could we get a meal?" She said, "Certainly." So we went in and had a good meal. I guess it was a kind of a resort. Ah, oh, those were the happy days. The shine, you know, is a big drop, kind of a river bed. And if I remember, there was a swinging wooden bridge over it. I remember going down there and looking around and thinking how beautiful it was. I also remember I had a wire home for some more money. It came.
It must have been hard to go from that back to the war.
Eh?
It must have been hard to go from that back to the war.
Oh, yes. It's a beautiful place. And Guernsey and Jersey, we went to both. Guernsey's very quaint. Their cows are... One cow would be tethered in one field. And that was its pasture. And the town on a Sunday, town people, would take their dinner and pies to the bakery and put them in the notches in the chimney, a big chimney, put them in there and leave them till after church, they'd be all baked. And they have the loveliest little bays there, hardly big enough to get a couple of road roosters. But awfully pretty. Then after the war, I'd got my diploma for building surveying. I got awfully restless and unsettled. I guess it was the aftermath of the war. I just couldn't stay put. So the wife and I went down to Kent on a farm where the farmer took in the pupils to learn farming. And I remember there was half a dozen college boys there. They didn't do much farming. They used to go up in the village, and I remember they asked me if they could take my wife. I said, well, she wants to go, okay. So they took her. And that farm, the idea of beaters was pork and beans. So my wife found a few eggs around and used to fry up a dish for us. And this farmer would be in bed most of the day. He'd get up for the milking in the morning, and then he'd go back, leave us to it.
Did you like it?
Eh?
Did you like it?
Oh, yes, it was like a holiday, a glorious holiday. Happy-go-lucky. I personally never saw the village. Met them, Ken. But there was a public house in Grays, was further along, and there was a hotel there, the King's Head, which we had prepared the quantities for renovation. And there was a secret safe in there. I remember the proprietor showing it to us. And they made a great big hotel and lounge of it. Really classy, just as good as anything in London. Then we went back and decided to come out here.
Were you still feeling restless?
Pardon?
Were you still feeling restless?
Yes, I hadn't settled down at all. And when we got out here, I remember the police, the bulls that they call them, and I suppose it was breaking with the ice. I remember that. And of course being trained to come up to Victoria. And never left Victoria.
What made you decide on Victoria?
Well, that was a landing man. Oh, I met a guy in France, and we were talking, and he was on the railway, putting the lines down, giving him, blow them up, he put them down the next day, he'd blow them up again. That went on for about a week, so we got to know one another. And when he found out I was in the building game, it was he said, you want to go to Victoria, there's lots of building there, it's just beginning to go. So we came out.
What year?
24. We went to Hatley Park and then to Patricia Bay with the lawyer, Taylor, Jack Taylor. He had a lovely farm, 600 acres. He sold half of it to a man who ran Jerseys or Guernseys, I forget now. And we won the other half. It wasn't long before we were visiting up at the house and eating with them. Judge Hunter had Christmas dinner with Judge Hunter and Jack Taylor. I forget what year. But I remember the hostess and I sang and my wife played. and the two gents and their wives were very pleased. They said, very good. Well, the lady could really see she had a very rich contralto voice, and my wife was a pretty good pianist. I remember we had a suckling pig for that Christmas. I remember it now, stretched out on a big platter, lemon in its mouth, and what a sweet. Oh, lovely. Different day. I can't get on with this food. The food's good, but the guys are cares. I don't know whether I'm fed up or what, but they never do anything quite right. If they make a vegetable nice and tender, the meat's hard, or vice versa. As I'm suffering indigestion, which upsets the heart, and I have to be very careful. I get on. Now that I get out, I like the Bay Hotel, get a good dinner there, a nice drink. I'll be going there pretty soon, I guess. There's a nurse in Nelson coming back to Victoria. She used to be here, and she hadn't had a cap then. And then suddenly she went to Nelson, got a cap, and did a lot of painting, had an exhibition, picked up a little bunch of dough, and she, my brother told me, she's held another one the last week or so. So when she comes back to Victoria, she's going to re-enroll at the Vic, her MA, so she's an ambitious little girl. She's only about 23, 25. I admire. Lots of self-reliance. But her painting and her exhibition really astonished me. I knew she was painting in Nelson, because she said it's so beautiful there. But, and then she had this exhibit and picked up a bit of money, and then decided to have another one before she came over. But I was surprised again when I heard she was going in for her MA.
When you were out at the Taylor farm, you were working the farm then, when you had your half the Taylor farm?
Pardon?
You were working the farm when you bought half the Taylor farm?
Oh, no, I didn't buy it. I forget the guy's name. He bought the half near to the where you turn off for the ferry. Source Bay, is it? Well, as you come down the main road, Swartz Bay is on the right, and then you take a left turn onto Horse Crossroad, and Taylor's farm lay in the bend. Oh, yeah. He lost it in the end. Mortgage. He lived like a lord all his life. He had a racetrack and paddocks out on that farm up against the Indian Reserve. and he had some black riders and trainers, and they used to have races out there, and I guess he lived like a lord. Anyway, he had a mortgage, and eventually he lost it. And I believe I got some idea a German bought or rented a place, and then my brother told me sometime after we'd come back and all that, that it had, the farm had been developed. He said it's covered with houses now. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's a damn shame.
There's one big dairy farm out there.
Eh?
There's one big dairy farm out there still.
Oh.
But the rest of it's a lot of houses.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely piece of country there. I used to watch the Indian along the main road as you turn around Pat Bay on the tree road, like, there was an Indian camp. Oh, what do you call it? Village. And there was a creek flowing through that. And he used to be a very old Indian guy making dugouts there. I used to watch him. And then suddenly, he disappeared. You could go out into Pat Bay just on the beach. There was a platform or something for the boat. And, you could go out and lay on that platform and watch fish as long as your arm go under that platform. And I used to think, gosh, if I could only catch you. I never did. Always, I used to streak around, and a little further down was the airfield on the left, and well on the left. And, a marine station, water plane station on the right, right on the coast.
Did you do any surveying in Victoria? Did you do any surveying in Victoria?
No, I did some plans and drawings for the Victoria Realty Co. That was when I decided farming didn't pay. I got upset there again. I found out, I knew my arms creamy, so you send cream in and milk. And I was only getting 3.8 tests. Well, I knew that was absolutely wrong, because sometimes they couldn't pour the stuff out. I knew it must run twice that much. So I took one can over to Parliament Buildings and had them tested. It went 7.8, and that firm had been dipping me for a year.
You had jerseys?
Eh?
You had jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one whole side, a big fella, and two jerseys, little fellas. But they were quick. And sometimes when they kicked, my gosh, you didn't know anything about it. I always laid up close to them. They were pretty good though. It all depends how you feed them. Handle them. Not like one guy saw a farm I saw once. A cow, a big old one cow, stepped on his foot. So he tried to break a hoe handle over his back.
Did you stay in Pat Bay?
Pardon?
Did you stay in Pat Bay?
Oh, about a year or so. I know I was there before, well before Christmas. Had a Christmas there and stayed a little while after. So I must have had a year. I would still be there, I guess. Only Taylor lost the farm. He was an old man and a will get none.
Where did you go then?
I came back to Victoria and my brothers came up. They worked their way across the prairies, toking and railroading. And they stayed with me for a few nights. And then they went out to Shields Farm in Shields Farm, Mitchelton. And they were there for quite a little while. I had it in my mind when I was at the Taylor Farm that I'd get the soldier settlement to take that on, you see, and I'd get my two brothers and we'd run the farm. It's a pity it didn't turn out. But the one brother, he's blind now, he got in with the Oak Bay Council for a year or so, and the other one was down at the dry dock. And they said he was the best machinist down there. He could go run a machine to paper thinness on metal. Well, he was a big trained as a mechanical engineer by a big firm in England. And he went to Malaya for 3 years. And then the war broke out, so he couldn't get back. So altogether he stayed out there 7 years. And I remember him telling me he'd got a nice launch. I used to fish in the bay. And then one day it sank. And that was the end of that. But he was a, what they, I suppose, call a master mechanic.
They came out here to join you?
In a way. It was because, as boys, we had always talked of coming to Manitoba. Now remember that, Manitoba. That's where we used to sit and talk about coming. And we were, in our 20s.